Hi all, it's Pastor Matt Kennedy here, really looking forward to delving into the Word of God with you guys again this week. Telemachus was a monk who lived in the 4th century. He felt God saying to him, go to Rome. He was in a cloistered monastery. He put his possessions in a sack and set out for Rome. When he arrived in the city, people were thronging in the streets. He asked why all the excitement, and he was told that this was the day that the gladiators would be fighting and killing each other in the Colosseum. The day of the games, the circus. He thought to himself, for centuries after Christ, and they are still killing each other for enjoyment. He ran to the Colosseum and heard the gladiators saying, "Hail to Caesar, we die for Caesar." And he thought, this isn't right. He jumped over the railing and went out into the middle of the field, got between two gladiators, held up his hands and said, "In the name of Christ, forbear." The crowd protested and began to shout, "Running through, running through." A gladiator came over and hit him in the stomach with the back of his sword. It sent him sprawling in the sand, and he got up and ran back and again said, "In the name of Christ, forbear." The crowd continued to chant, "Running through, running through." One gladiator came over and plunged his sword through the little monk's stomach, and he fell into the sand, which began to turn crimson with his blood. One last time he gasped out, "In the name of Christ, forbear." A hush came over the 80,000 people in the Colosseum. Soon a man stood and left, then another and more. And within minutes, all 80,000 had emptied out of the arena. It was the last known gladiatorial contest in the history of Rome. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak, and each of us, Lord, the ears to hear, myself included. I ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So, I want to welcome everyone as we continue in our series on the Beatitudes. So far, we've looked at the first six Beatitudes. So, looking from Matthew 5, three verses, all the way through to verse 8. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This week, we're going to be looking at the seventh beatitude as found in Matthew 5, 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." I'm not sure about you, but I personally, while preparing this sermon series, had found each one of these beatitudes to be very challenging to me. Hopefully you have been challenged by them also as we work our way through them. That being said, I don't think this one will be any different, and it also should bring forth a challenge for each of us in some way, shape or form. So if you have your Bibles or devices, please have them ready as we take a close look at this instruction from Jesus. Let me start by explaining what this actually doesn't mean. There are people who might think that to be a peacemaker, that means that you yourself are somebody who is peaceful or display a natural characteristic of peacefulness. Those people where peace just seems to be their natural disposition. This is not what Jesus was talking about here. Pastor John Cossier describes it in this way. In this beatitude, Jesus doesn't bless those who have a peaceful disposition, as good as that might be. He doesn't say, "Blessed are those who are peaceful." The focus is not on the personality, but on the action of the person Jesus describes. Those who are blessed are those who make peace. And that's a very good point, isn't it, when it comes to peacemaking. And that is that it's not passive. Action and effort is required. And those who are blessed are those who make peace. Did you pick that up? Those who are peacemakers actually need to do something. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. He had to come to earth, live a perfect life as an atonement for our sins. He had to die on a cross and then defeat death and rise again. We are called also to take decisive action to become peacemakers just like Jesus. Jesus, in what he did, allowed us to have peace with God. And so we're needing to understand that we need to take action as well. So understand and know up front that to become a peacemaker, it requires action. Okay, so what does it mean for somebody to be a peacemaker? To narrow this down even further, what does the Bible mean when we see this phrase or word used? Well, simply, a peacemaker has two different avenues. The first is where God's people or a person takes active pains to reconcile peace between others. Secondly, and I think more importantly, a peacemaker is somebody who actively reconciles people with God. I've done this a little bit around in the reverse order, but that's because I really wanted for us to finish with what I think is ultimately the larger issue here. So let's check out the first aspect of what it means to be a peacemaker when where God's people or a person takes active pains to reconcile peace between others. Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. We call in Romans 12:14 to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. The fact we are called to strive shows us up front that a peacemaker requires effort, both in their own relationships and dealing with other people, but also as they step in to help others reconcile with one another. A lady by the name of Dolores Smith, in an article that she wrote, made the point that peacemakers encourage peaceful living amongst others by doing such things as reasoning frankly with neighbours, Leviticus 19:17, rebuking those who persist in sin, 1 Timothy 5:20, warning those who are idle and disruptive, and discouraging people from being vindictive with one another, as is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:14-15. A peacemaker is someone who actively encourages and helps people to reconcile with one another. But here's the thing. This is why I said earlier that I've done this in somewhat of the reverse. For us to truly be reconciled to one another, for us to be truly peacemakers, we must first point people to God. People need to make peace with God first for them to make true and lasting peace with others. It's a bit like a story I read when one New Year's Eve at a London Garrick Club, British dramatist Frederick Lonsdale was asked by Seymour Hicks to reconcile with a fellow member. The two had quarrelled in the past and never restored their friendship. "You must," Hicks said to Lonsdale. "It is very unkind to be unfriendly at such a time. Go over now and wish him a happy new year." So Lonsdale crossed the room and spoke to his enemy. "I wish you a happy new year," he said, "but only one." True reconciliation, true peace can only come when our heart is right with God. In fact, for true peace to happen, both parties need to be actively encouraged to be reconciling with God. When that happens, then reconciliation with others will become a real and lasting thing. And this leads well into our second section of this Beatitude, reconciliation between man and God. In this, we must recognize that the key to reconciliation between man and God comes down to and is only possible through Jesus and what Jesus has done for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Jesus' death on the cross is what mends the bridge, so to speak, the bridge over the great chasm between a sinful humanity and a holy God. We see the problem described in Isaiah 59:2 when Isaiah explains, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." The problem we all have is that our sins, all of us, have caused a break in relationship with a holy and righteous God. Our sin has deafened God to our prayers. He chooses no longer to hear them. We have been shut out from the giver and sustainer of life. Not because of God's actions, but because of our sin against a loving but just God. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short to the glory of God." We have all rebelled against the God who created us and sustains our every breath and heartbeat. We said no to him and decided to do things our own way. And this caused a rift between us that we in our own power just could not fix. That is why God sent his son, Jesus. Paul explains this to us in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you get that? While we were still sinners, while we were still actively fighting against our Lord, while we were kind of like not his friends, we were his enemy, God showed unbelievable and incomprehensible love even then towards us through the death of his only begotten Son. All of this is so that we, God's enemies, could be reconciled to God because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That ministry of reconciliation that Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 5:18, where it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is where we as followers of Jesus who have been reconciled to God through Christ, then in response to this amazing grace that has been shown, share the good news that Jesus has reconciled us to God. When we share this with others who don't yet know him. In sharing the good news, we are then becoming peacemakers, pointing towards the one who can help those who are at war with God still. We can help them step into the peace through Jesus that is being offered. This peace is the ultimate peace that anyone can have. This peace is that as followers of Jesus, it cannot be understated. It is the bringing of a light into the darkness, life and hope to where there is only darkness and death. The peacemakers that Jesus speaks of here will impact the lives of many for an eternity. They will introduce both friend, acquaintance, and enemy to a peace with God that will last for an eternity. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Are you a peacemaker? Are you a peacemaker? Do you bring the good news that peace with God is available? That is, that it is on offer for people to take up, freely given in grace by God. This is probably the most important message that we could ever share. Do you share it even with those that you love or that you call friends? Let me share with you this powerful poem that I came across, which is entitled, My Friend. My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth I walked with you day by day and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell me the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me straight to him. Though we lived together on earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late. You could have saved me from this fate. We walk by day and talk by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and laughed with you through joy and strife. And yet on coming to the end, I cannot now call you my friend. Whew. Friends. This is serious stuff. If you do not even care enough to share the good news about Jesus, to share the good news about our reconciliation with God through his Son, with those you call friends, there is one of three things then which is obviously going wrong in this situation for you. Either you don't actually believe this message. That is, you don't really believe that things are as serious as Jesus tells us that they are, and or you don't believe that Jesus is the answer. That's the case. Let me make this clear for you. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is it. It doesn't become any clearer than this. Maybe it's the second one. Maybe you don't understand this message of reconciliation. You don't realize just how serious things actually are or the role that you have been commanded to play in it. John 3:17-18, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We were or are already condemned. Jesus came to save us from that condemnation. We are saved not by anything that we have done, but what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We are saved by grace and grace alone. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Jesus is the key to reconciliation with God. He is the key for eternal life and the only way for people to avoid that terrible wrath of God. Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We're called to share this good news. You and I are commanded to tell others about the reconciliation that is on offer between themselves and God. We're called to be peacemakers. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Maybe thirdly, maybe it's a third issue. Maybe you just don't care. You couldn't be bothered to put yourself out even for those who you claim to be friends, let alone anyone else. Therefore, you don't warn them about the results of their wickedness, of their life apart from Christ, even unto death. Ezekiel 3:17-19. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning for me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. You look out for only yourself, if that's you, taking care of only your wants and needs and refusing to help others, then there's a big issue here, if that is the case. If you know what's on stake, if you know that this is going to happen, if you understand the things that are on the line, but yet you just couldn't be bothered to tell people, then it becomes very serious. Matthew 25:41-46. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will say to them, truly I say to you, as you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it for me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Which one are you? Which one are you? Friends, every one of these Beatitudes that Jesus speaks into will come at some personal cost to yourself. While the peace we receive ultimately through reconciliation with God is freely given to us by the grace of God, when we become merchants of peace, when we actively become peacemakers, there will be a cost to us. Philip Henry often would quote Luther's story of two goats that met upon a narrow bridge over deep water. They could not go back, they dared not fight. And after a short parley, one of them lay down and let the other one go over him. And thus no harm is done. The moral, he would say, is easy. Be content if thy person be trod upon for peace's sake. Thy person, I say, not thy conscience. Friends, just like Telemachus the monk in our opening story, we need to be willing to step in and to act for there to be peace. We will be persecuted, we will be rejected, we will be teased and unfairly treated. We will be required to sometimes lay down before our enemies and sacrifice either a little or everything as we actively pursue the role of peacemaker. There will be suffering, both as the person who promotes peace as well as for the person who encourages and enables for there to be peace. But friends, let me encourage you. Let me remind you. Let me point you back towards Jesus and say to you, it is worth the cost. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I just thank you for the fact that we can have peace with God, and Lord, we can bring others to that peace as well. Lord, that we can bring peace between people by pointing them towards you, but we can even more so, as we said, bring peace to people by pointing them directly to you so they can have that reconciliation with you and be at peace with you. Lord, I just ask that we would see the importance of this message. Lord, that we would see the desperate need for those around us, Lord, to hear about the good news of what Jesus has done, and that the reconciliation with God, that peace with God, is available. Lord, I just ask that you would challenge our hearts and minds in this. I ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.